Hello and welcome to the podcast of the Lotus Eaters. This is episode 488. I'm your host, Harry, joined today by Connor.
Hello there.
And we're going to be talking about how the backlash has begun, Italy's far-right fascist party winning big, and also Kanye West being quite based. And on a similar note to that, I can't believe I'm having to advertise this, but, you know, this is my job. You know, my hands are tied here. We do have an event on later on today at 3:30 for our premium subscribers that Carl and Callum are doing, well, that Carl is subjecting Callum to, called Is Tony Blair Based?, where they examine the question, is Tony Blair based?
Nah.
No, he isn't. But Carl might be able to provide some counter evidence. So check that out. You might even want to sign up because, really, it is a truly intriguing question.
Well,
so
if you pay for the £5 a month, you'll at least be able to post a comment and tell Carl to snap out of it.
Yes, yes. You've been listening to too much AA. Anyway, with that, let's get into the news.
So I'm delighted to report that the backlash has started. We've all sort of realised that we're frogs in a boiling pot, and the leftists, dumb as they are, leant on the gas stove, turned the heat up too quick, and suddenly we're all jumping out. And it's just a sign to sort of keep up the protests and keep up the backlash. If you don't realise what I'm talking about, there was a recent drag queen story hour in Memphis that was shut down. So that's always nice to know, isn't it? But if you'd like to know more specifically about what's wrong with the drag queens in question, you can go over to lotuseaters.com and watch this video that I did fairly recently called The Killer Clowns of Leftism. And as the thumbnail gives away, created by our excellent new editor, Jack, what do drag queens and serial killers have in common? One is a costumed creep who preys on children, and the other one is John Wayne Gacy. Anyway, so back to the tweet in question that Robbie Starbuck put up. There is video footage of drag queen being led away from a protest by police officers in Memphis, Tennessee. And this at the time was, I suppose, unfortunately falsely reported that the drag protester, drag queen creature with gigantic buttocks and a literal clown wig in question had been arrested. Unfortunately, that hasn't happened. Instead, the police shut down the event because of the protesters going there and kicking up a fuss.
So when you say Drag Queen Story Hour, was this an event that was explicitly designed and aimed for children?
Yes, it was a family-friendly drag event in a public park.
Looks entirely family-friendly to me, this offshoot, this distant cousin of the Kardashian family.
Yeah,
this is not appropriate for children.
Those who can't see it, he's wearing the Pepe the Frog clown meme wig with two football stubs shoved down his backside and wearing enough tinfoil that he can't actually trip over it without being in his platform heels.
I mean, I wouldn't even have the actual Kardashians administer some kind of children's party because obviously that would be inappropriate, let alone this person.
We'll get onto that in the later segment as to exactly why you wouldn't want to do that.
Yes, I suppose so.
So we'll look at the promotional flyer for this just to see how truly family friendly it is. If we can just pull up these images from the wonderful Andy Ngo. So it's at the Museum of Science and History, and it's to celebrate LGBTQ+ people. It's the first ever mosh drag show. The historic show will star a diverse cast of performers featuring different styles, expressions, and identities, showcasing some of the infinite ways in which we can manifest the art of drag. After the show, we'll kick off our intergenerational dance party.
That's dangerous. That's
that
very
word
dangerous.
Is a gigantic alarm siren, isn't it?
Well, speaking of words, I have to say, as somebody who's very much into heavy metal, the appropriation of the word mosh is very offensive to me. They're appropriating my culture, and you need to educate yourself and get better.
Well, I thought you would immediately pick up on the intergenerational because it's linked in the description. It isn't necessarily here, but you did your video for the website, The Left's Problem with Pedophilia, and you highlight how
I mistitled it because the left has no problem with pedophilia.
Unfortunately so. You spoke about Gail Rubin, the founder of queer theory, for those who do not know, and in her seminal paper, she decides to describe pedophilic relationships as, quote, intergenerational relationships. Cross-generational relationships. It's just a euphemism for abusing children, and that seems to have snuck it in there.
I don't know why. I don't know if you're going to mention it later, but it is important to mention exactly, like some of the stuff that you covered in your Gacy video, why it is exactly, beyond the obvious sexual degeneracy, that drag queens are aiming themselves at children, why this is becoming a more and more prevalent thing. As you said, it's a certain form of pedagogy, I believe, is the term that you used for it, where they're trying to sneak in the ideology to children while their minds are still malleable, while it's blatantly easy to brainwash them before they can question any of these things. They're trying to program your kids to believe all of this stuff before you have any chance to say no.
Yeah, they're trying to, quote, mainstream the marginalized and make it so that your identity is constantly in flux, so that you can never become the bourgeois, straight, white, heterodox person, and instead have a constantly destabilized identity of creating new pronouns, new gender identities, new sexualities.
What it is, it's the permanent revolution on a purely identitarian basis.
Yeah, it's an internalized perpetual revolution, and so that stops you from ever being status quo, and that's how they achieve it, by destabilizing children's personal identities by sexualizing them and presenting them with this amorphous blob, named with creatures like angel farts. That seems very appropriate, doesn't it?
Well, no, that's the thing, is that it is slightly ingenious, because there is a very easy way to skirt around the inevitable controversy, which we've seen them do time and time again, which is by dressing it up, as drag queens already do, in the flamboyancy, the pretty colours, the sparkly outfits.
It's just pantomime dames. Yeah, I don't see what's wrong with it.
It's just pantomime. Obviously, there is a sexual dimension to being a drag queen. I've met drag queens. I lived in Manchester for a while.
You poor soul.
You can't convince me that there isn't. But it has a certain goofy aesthetic to it that it can be very easy to slip under the radar for those who aren't paying attention and just say, like, oh, it's the same way that we have, you know, clowns dressing up for children.
Yeah, when has that ever gone wrong?
I know.
So if we go to the next tab, we'll get some more details on this event and why it was shut down. A family-friendly drag show for all ages, that's in quotes, by the way, that was scheduled to take place on Friday night at the Memphis Museum of Science and History, MOSH, in Tennessee, was cancelled moments before it was set to start due to a protest outside of the museum that was shut down by police. Late Friday, MOSH sent Action News 5 a statement. Quote, the safety of our guests and staff is our primary concern. Out of an abundance of caution and to ensure the safety of all present, the Museum of Science and History made the discretion to cancel all programming Friday evening due to the presence of armed protesters. Closing early involved the cancellation of the two events scheduled for the evening, a laser show in our planetarium and the Memphis Proud Drag Show and Dance Party. The intergenerational dance party was to culminate Mosh's Summer of Pride event in autumn, but attracted religious protesters as well as some of the members of the conservative Proud Boys organization, who were reportedly unexpected by the Memphis Police Department. So, apparently,
at least they didn't call the Proud Boys fash this time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's actually images of the, if you scroll down slightly, John, we'll just talk about that. There's some images of the Proud Boy from Twitter. It might be even
image.
Up, even. basically, there was just a bunch of people with American flags standing outside cop cars. Must have been a bit higher up. And it's just, okay, well, I'm not that bothered about the Proud Boys. There we go. Yeah, so there's just people in American flag bandanas and things like that. And also open carrying, which is their right in Memphis, Tennessee, because it's a Republican state. So no problem there. They're just defending themselves and their children. And if you were intimidated by a bunch of parents holding the American flag and constitutional carrying, what does that say about you? I'm sure your intentions were purely benevolent. If we can just go on to the next one. This was Harry's video, Less Problem with Pedophilia, so go and check that out. But if we examine the next two videos, they're not going to be played. I just wanted to credit, so you can go over and see for yourself. This is Matt Walsh's podcast from the other day, and he said himself that part of this was because he screened What is a Woman to Senator Marsha Blackburn, and he said, we're fully on the offense now. We're not scrambling to take defensive postures while the left dictates the terms of the argument. And he said there's actually congressional appetite for legislation against this kind of stuff.
Oh, excellent.
Because conservative cultural efforts are working. And if we go on to the next part, James Lindsay as well has been making real efforts. He gave an interview to Michael Malice, which was recorded even before this happened. And Lindsay actually discusses in this a paper called Drag Pedagogy, The Playful Practice of Queer Imagination in Early Childhood, which we'll look at in a moment. It is authored by Little Miss Hot Mess, an actual drag queen, who runs Drag Queen Story Hour and wrote the book The Hips on the Drag Queen Go Swish, 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 which we'll also get onto in a moment. And he said, I was sharing this document with a handful of local leaders and they were exploring what legal avenues they have to stop this from happening. So this time it was shut down because the protesters were there and they wanted to keep the peace. But it seems like people who are influential on our side of the aisle, our fellow travellers over in the States, are making actual efforts to exercise just state power to protect children from this kind of predatory ideology.
Wonderful. I'm sorry, I just need to point out the hips of the drag queen go swish, swish, swish.
We'll get onto that in a moment.
Obviously supposed to be for children, given the nature.
It's a picture book.
It sounds like a picture book. But also, like, in the 1950s, people freaked out because Elvis gyrated his hips a bit too much for people's liking. Because as much as you might say nowadays, oh, it was hysterical overreaction. No, it is very sexual. You're thrusting. This is not appropriate for children.
No, the slippery slope fallacy has seemingly been disproven, because remember when all the conservative Christians said, well, if you abolish the normative standards of men and women by doing away with traditional marriage, who knows what will happen? And everyone just said, oh, you're scaremongering. It's a slippery slope. Well, someone greased a very short path to a cliff, didn't they? Because look at where we are now.
Someone's greased something.
I feel physically sick. Anyway, onto the paper in question that Lindsay spoke about. In case you didn't believe me, I'm just going to read a couple of quotes here, and this should just be shared far and wide. Absolutely. So, and this is in the leading journal for educational studies, by the way. So this has had plenty of views and citations. So this isn't just some fringe corner of the internet stuff. The authors of this paper discuss five interrelated elements of Drag Queen Story Hour, which offer early childhood educators a way into a sense of queer imagination, play as praxis, praxis of course meaning Marxist revolutionary activity, aesthetic transformation, strategic defiance, the destigmatization of shame, and embodied kinship. Very strange.
Shame is good.
But also kinship, so displacing your family with the drag queens. Lovely. Ultimately, the authors propose that drag pedagogy provides a performative approach to queer pedagogy that is not simply about LGBT lives, but living queerly. So you're teaching children how to live queerly. Lovely. In this article, we explore the pedagogical contributions of a program called Drag Queen Story Hour as a form of queer imagining in early childhood contexts. Through this program, drag artists have channeled their penchant for, quote, playfully reading each other into filth, into different forms of literacy, promoting storytelling as integral to queer and trans communities, as well as positioning queer and trans cultural reforms as valuable components of early childhood education. So just chop a little bit of that. Reading each other into filth as valuable components of early childhood education. Lovely.
Normally I'm the one doing this to other people. Now you're doing it to me. I'm getting a taste of my
own. Oh, we're going to get some white pills very shortly, don't worry. But it's just to set up how severe this problem is. So the family friendliness part as well, anyone still defending this, is an open lie, because it says in here again, many performers study their craft in an adoptive drag family, whereas in drag mothers or fathers, sisters and aunties guide their children in anything from how to glue down one's eyebrows to delivering a flawless lip sync. And then it runs on for a little bit. It may be that Drag Queen Story Hour is family friendly in the sense that it is accessible and inviting to families of children. But it is less a sanitizing force than it is a preparatory introduction to alternate modes of kinship. So, an alternate queer family. Here, Drag Queen Story Hour is family friendly, they quote that themselves, in the sense of family as an old school queer code to identify and connect with other queers on the street. So your child is going to form a new family of queers on the street.
Well, once again, it's important to point out how insidious this is, because the whole point of living queerly, queer modes of life, basically means a lifestyle without normative restraints on it, without any sort of barriers to appropriate behaviour and what's not appropriate behaviour. And children, when faced with a decision between siding with their mean, evil parents who are going to put limits on what they can do, and this new family who are going to say, you can do and be whatever you want, and, you know, in a certain way, that is a more positive message for children to hear, at least in terms of positive of, yeah, there's no limits to anything, I can do whatever I want, is going to be very attractive to some children, sadly.
It was very attractive to Pinocchio to go to Treasure Island, and then he became an ass.
Yes, remember when we used to have, like, folk tales about these things?
Hence why Bo and I covered Labyrinth for the website. So the last quote just is a threat, and it ends the actual article with this. Not skipping ahead too early, John. Playing with drag can be a way to remember that, in the words of Harney and Moton, we're already here, moving, we're dressing up, we're shaking our hips, and we're finding our light, even in the fluorescence. We're reading books while we read each other's looks, and we're leaving a trail of glitter that won't ever come out of the carpet. That is the final line. So that just sounds like irreversible damage. Fantastic.
I have words not suitable for YouTube on what should happen to these people.
As I said in my Gacy video, investigate them and prosecute them accordingly. I vote we send them to the nonce prison island of Pitcairn, because it's still a British territory. I think we should get a campaign going.
Oh, yes, true.
So, in case you don't believe me that this is actually happening, here's a horrific video where there's a drag event and the children are grabbing the drag queen in question's crotch. which is just vile, but it's not unusual. And again, there's a very large fat man, for those who can't see, dressed like a peacock, just walking around greeting babies and holding them. And it's clearly some kind of, well, strange fetish.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Somebody dressed like this comes up and asks me to ask me if they can hold my baby. I'm assuming that you're getting off on this in some way. So you...
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, if we go to the next one as well, remember I said the hips on the drag queen go swish, swish, swish?
Well, I wish I didn't.
The name at the bottom there on the right on that photo, that's Little Miss Hot Mess, the person that authored that paper. This, their book, the person who said we're going to leave a trail of glitter that will never come out of the carpet, New York has just put that on the curriculum for three-year-olds. Yeah. So it's in, just everywhere in Democrat states in America. Luckily, the Republican states are having some citizens' pushback. So, fantastic. But obviously that protest was shut down, and we're starting to win. The dominoes are beginning to fall. If you go to the next one, enough parents complained about a drag queen at the National Theatre that they got the sack. So I'll just read from this Daily Mail article. The drag queen banned by the National Theatre for making a sex joke about children in front of horrified parents has been revealed. Ms. Sharon Legrand, let's hope that person never works again, was performing to a crowd at the Free River Stage Festival in South London when the performer started speaking loudly about inclusivity. The drag queen told the audience, "We need to teach our children to open their hearts, teach our children to open their minds, and teach our children to open their legs."
Oh yeah, I remember this. Also, the word "our." This person likely has no children.
No.
They're not yours. Yeah. They're somebody else's children that you want to claim ownership
of. Yeah, the left has no children, but they will want to have yours. They are currently, unfortunately, it's tragic, even though they're ideologically possessed, aborting and gender transitioning themselves to depopulation, which is why they're flooding to the educational institutions to mind wipe your children who, God forbid, would grow up conservative, wholesome, and with some kind of restrictions on them.
As I have said before, the operating aim seems to be, well, if you can't abort them, castrate them.
We shall talk nothing about how our elites would like the depopulation agenda to go ahead and how lots of people are doing it for them. Anyway, on to the next one. So here's a little victory as well. Do you remember when you covered this? The balloon-titted Ontario
which
educator?
Which I've seen a 4chan post going around claiming...
We will get onto that, don't you worry. So if you'd like to watch that coverage, you can go and watch that in the on the website or linked in the description. Just a brief overview. Oakville Trafalgar High School in Ontario defended woodwork teacher Kayla Lemonieu on the grounds of diversity and inclusion. But you might be confused actually hearing the name Kayla Lemonieu because you might have also heard the apparent prior dead name called Stephen Hannah. But don't worry, we're not actually dead naming him. Because it turns out, and you got the actual name correctly, you didn't misreport it, but it turns out the press got the name, the original name of this teacher, wrong for 5 days. The press got confused with another woodwork teacher who's 100% a biological male, totally fine guy. But isn't it strange how the school didn't come out and correct that? Isn't that really weird?
Are you suggesting they might be the same person?
No. They thought they were the same person.
Oh,
but it turns out there were two woodwork teachers. And they thought, the press generally picked up and ran with, oh, it must be, that's the prior name and that's the new one. So they smeared this guy's name for multiple days and the school didn't come out and defend the other woodwork teacher who is not wearing giant fake prosthetic breasts.
This poor bastard.
Yes, exactly. Apparently he's all right with the students. But why didn't the school defend him? It's because they like to have someone deflect from the actual criticism of this person. So then, rather brilliantly, a Rebel News journalist shows up to the school board meeting. If we can go here. And I don't know if we can play this, John. Is it possible?
Story. No, you're out of order. The Lemieux story was in the news cycle for 5 days, and it was misreported that Mr. Hannah was the same person, and you never corrected the record. You, Mr. Innes, he, him. You, Dr. Shuttleworth. Heather Francie, a communications director who doesn't communicate, not until Monday night, 10:18 p.m. to be precise, did you correct that. Why did you throw Mr. Hannah under the bus? Why did you allow that teacher to be defamed?
I think that deserves an answer. That teacher was harassed for no reason.
Are you lazy? Are you incompetent? Or are you malicious? Were you deliberately trying to have the media get it wrong? Come on, Ms. Francie, you're a communications director. Why don't you communicate? Cat got your tongue? Ladies and gentlemen, can you believe this? The whole board has run away. I guess I'm weaponized, not with a knife or a gun or anything like that. I guess with impolite questions. But that is the nub of the matter. For at least 5 days, this story about Mr. Lemieux going to school with those enormous, grotesque, prosthetic breasts was in the world media. And that's bad enough. But the fact that Mr. Hanna, who I understand is a good man and a good teacher, was misidentified as Mr. Lemieux, and these bureaucrats, these educrats, never corrected the record.
I mean, it's just...
There is something ridiculous about this whole situation that's led to... I remember seeing the clip that was going around on Twitter of even Tucker Carlson saying that it seems to be related to something in Japan known as exploding milk porn.
I have never heard that
I just love that we're in such clown world right now that we've got like what seems like an honest reporter trying to go and question people who has to use the term gigantic grotesque breasts.
Yes, and it's not often that a gentleman refers to gigantic breasts as grotesque, but in this context it's pretty apt. But for those who didn't see as well, the school board entirely cleared out when he was pressing them. So we're seeing the genealogy here, like we did with the Memphis protests, of conservative activists, media pundits, thinkers, putting these stories to the forefront of public consciousness, saying we should go out and do something, like Matt Walsh did for the Loudoun County School Board, of course, that you covered as well. And something really happens, like Governor Youngkin being elected. Now we see, we're not going to play these videos, but we're just going to allow them in the background. There's multiple angles taken by Revel News of protests outside the school, not just of parents, not just of local activists, but students are now joining them on the picket line. They're avoiding their classes and they're going out and they're saying, we have been subjected to this man's fetish, and we have had enough of it. So even the students are now joining without fear of repercussions. They're not going on school climate strikes. They're saying, yeah, this
looks like
weird sexualization is too far.
Yeah, it looks like some of them have got masks on as well to try and hide their identities. Because if you're at a place of work that supports this kind of action and they see you protesting against LGBT issues, for instance, you might be putting your job at risk.
Especially
nowadays,
in Canada,
sadly.
Who have ridiculous hate crime tribunals, of course. So if we can just go to the next one, John, just another angle. Again, just the crowds are immense. They've all got signs, they've all got Canadian flags, they're not really holding up any traffic. I mean, of course, people are walking across the road, but they're not causing any disruption. It's an entirely, mostly peaceful protest, I suppose you could say. And it's all
wonder
in the principle
how long
of
their bank accounts have got left.
Yeah, unfortunately so. Trudeau could be confiscating what little pennies that these kids have from mowing their parents' lawns by the end of the day. And if you just go to the last one, John, again, just to show you, it's working. People are getting outraged. The frogs have realized the heat is too high. And so, yes, we can look at those papers and say, oh, it's all disturbing and it's stomach churning that they want to sexualize our kids. But you've upset the mama bears. You've upset the last few men in the West with enough test left to really fight for their kids. And now even the kids, the radicalized Zoomers, who are seeing videos like ours, I hope, are going out and saying, no, I'm sick of this. I'm not being graded by someone who has, I mean, he's a woodwork teacher and he's not even got the safety to put his balloons away from the circular saw. Really? You're getting paid a salary? You're taking my parents' tax money so you can do this to me? Not a chance in hell. So we will go on to the final one, just because you brought it up
earlier.
Yeah, I mentioned. There's a conspiracy theory here. Of course, we can't authenticate this.
This
it comes
is a
from
4chan post, so take it with a massive heap
table
of salt.
Table of salt, yeah. But I'm going to read this out just because it's hilarious if true, but it also I think it's still dark, and I think you'll agree with me. So there's an anonymous ID from Canada, funnily enough. This dude is gaming the system. An anonymous account here said yesterday they were in this guy's class. This teacher was almost fired for, quote, toxic masculinity last year, as well as not embracing woke culture. He dropped red pills to his class, such as how city gender-neutral bathrooms are. The school board hates him. He's now upping the ante to exploit the very clown world the school and society itself created. His long game is most likely to get fired, and then sue for discrimination. There is no other explanation, no better to troll clown world than become an over-the-top caricature of a woman. If we just skip to the next image, John. It's, of course, Giga Chad with those horrendous protruding nipples there.
Okay.
So, I am Sure, it sounds like a very effective protest technique, but number one, I don't think that's true because the school board wouldn't want to defend him. They'd call him out for his false consciousness. And number two, this reads like even if you are gaming the system to have a critique, it reads like cuties saying, we're protesting child sexualization while actively sexualizing kids.
What it sounds like is wishful thinking.
Yes.
If it does turn out to be true, I just want to say that in jest, I did make a joke that might be what's happening at the last time Callum and I covered
Nostradamus.
It. But I don't see it as being the actual truth.
No, but what we can get from this is that we've just got to keep the pressure up. Parents that are protesting Drag Queen Story Hour, whether it's in the UK libraries that we've already covered, or over in the States, or students out in Canada, it's clearly working. There is enough public animosity towards the sexualization of kids being caught on camera that things are actually changing. And so, even though it's tiring, we will win, it is working, and your takeaway is, if you're mad about it, it means you're only still sane.
All right, then. Well, let's move on, shall we?
So, we're winning?
Are we winning?
Well, we're winning on all of these
segments,
it seems.
In Italy, it seems that we are. The fascists are coming. The fascists are coming. It's just like 1933 all over again. Watch out, Ethiopia. The Italians are coming to get you.
Oh, did the leftists get elected?
No.
Oh.
No, a right-wing party in Italy has won the election as part of a coalition with other centre-right and right-wing parties, it seems.
Right, so the train's going to be really slow.
Because no, only the
leftists.
On
well, the only leftists could make the run of time. Of
course. That's true. Well, it seems that Italy's foremost right-wing party, the Brothers of Italy, seem to have won as part of their coalition with the other parties, League and I've forgotten the name of. I'll get to it later. They have won the election and are setting up to form their own government with Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni with Giorgia Meloni set to be the new prime minister, the first ever female prime minister of Italy. And people are freaking out, throwing around the fascist word, etc., 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 saying that this is going to cause the end of democracy, the fall of the European Union, fingers crossed, and generally decrying it as the end of the world. So let's take a look and see if that is true. What do the Brothers of Italy believe? And are they really as radical and far right as they are being made out to be? Or, in fact, are they containment, as some others are saying? I guess we'll find out. But before we go any further, we do have a book club from last year, Zeev Sternhell's Neither Right Nor Left, which gives a good historical overview of the intellectual and philosophical foundations that led to the creation of the fascist ideology in the early 20th century. And he traces it back to Georges Sorel in late 19th century France in his advocation of political violence as a legitimate form of democracy. So if you want to check that out, you can find it on the website, and it might be able to help you improve your understanding of what this vastly misunderstood ideology actually is. So let's move on. So Italy's far right on course to win election, according to BBC a few hours ago, and I believe that they have won the election, because if you scroll down a little bit here, we can see a graph of the vote share of each of these. We can see Brothers of Italy have got 26.18%, and they were aligned with League and Forza Italia. So overall, they come up to about 43-44% of the votes, and they'll be able, as part of that coalition, to form their own government. The Democratic Party were centre-left, and I don't think they had a coalition. If they did, it was with the Greens and the Third Pole, and as you can tell, they were nowhere near close enough to being able to to beat the Brothers of Italy.
No, ironically, the Greens are in the red.
It seems so. It seems so. So
that's very Italian of me. Hey, yo. Hey, hey, yo. Cooking a pizza.
Ms. Meloni is widely expected to form Italy's most right-wing government since World War II, according to this BBC article, which means any remote variant of right-wing is the first time since World War II. Because you see this especially in countries like Germany and Italy, which were sadly on the bad side of the mid-century conflict, saying that, you know, since then they've basically not been allowed to have right-wing governments at all.
But the Nazis and the fascists weren't even right-wing.
That is certainly very
they
much
wore the veneer
debate
of traditionalism, but they ultimately demolished their own nation, and I don't
well,
think
Hitler,
that
Well, Hitler was
for
a nihilistic revolutionary who didn't really, who wouldn't really fit within the right-wing other than his appeals to a national identity.
Yeah, he's a race socialist. No, thank you.
Beyond that, they've just been associated with the right wing. It seems to me to be for political expediency for the victories that the left has taken since the mid-century. And as a result, Germany and Italy and other countries have basically had the right wing outright banned, which we will see as we get further along. But no, this is the first time they've had a remotely right-wing government since the beginning. So that will alarm, says the BBC, much of Europe, as Italy is the EU's third biggest economy. What does this have to do with their success? Does the, having a right-wing government, does that mean that they're going to blow up the economy? Because typically it's the other way around.
Well, it's ultimately the admission that the European Union is a hegemonic left-wing project.
Well,
so
I mean, that's clear to anybody paying attention by now. And it's also just another way to try and smear them in any way possible. However, speaking after the vote, Ms. Meloni said that her Brothers of Italy party would govern for everyone and would not betray the people's trust. Italians have sent a clear message in favour of a right-wing government led by Brothers of Italy, saying, while she was also holding up a sign saying, "Thank you, Italy." She's set to win 26% of the vote based on the provisional vote results. Her right-wing alliance, which also includes Matteo Salvini's far-right league and former PM Silvio Berlusconi's centre-right Forza Italia, will take control of the Senate and the Chamber of Deputies with around 44% of the vote, as I said.
Berlusconi's back. Bunga Bunga Man's back.
Yes, Berlusconi is back as part of this coalition.
More Bunga Bunga parties.
Yes. Her own party's democratic success in the vote disguised the fact that her allies performed poorly. Not poorly enough, though, it seems. Mm. Not as poorly as the Democratic Party's allies. Salvini's party slipping below 9%. You know, they're just trying to
cope.
They're just trying to cope here. And they're also saying, oh, 4 years ago, Brothers of Italy only won little more than 4% of the vote, but this time benefited from staying out of the national unity government that collapsed in July. And this seems to just be another symptom of Italy having a very unstable political landscape. And this, to me, doesn't sound like a bad thing. It's a pretty meteoric rise for them, to be fair. I mean, fair play to them.
Aren't they just saying, oh, how dare they benefit from left-wing failures?
Well, I don't think the Unity Party was even strictly left-wing failures, although it did come about. I think the Forza Italia and League had a coalition in 2018 when they won the election. And then for whatever reason, one of them, possibly League, dropped out in last year. And then they formed a coalition with the Democratic Party and it all came crashing down from there. That's what I know from a quick cursory glance at some of the information available regarding it. So if I've got that wrong, Italians watching, I'm sorry. And the decision on who becomes Italy's next leader is up to the president, Sergio Mattarella, and that will take time. Although Giorgia Meloni has worked hard to soften her image, emphasising her support for Ukraine and diluting anti-EU rhetoric, she leads a party rooted in a post-war movement that rose out of dictator Benito Mussolini's fascists. And I'll examine that claim in just a little bit. Earlier this year, she outlined her priorities in a raucous speech to Spain's far-right Vox Party. Yes to the natural family, no to the LGBT lobby, yes to sexual identity, no to gender ideology, no to Islamist violence, yes to secure borders, no to mass migration, no to big international finance, no to the bureaucrats of Brussels, which sounds pretty great to me.
Do they accept foreign members?
I mean, you might have to try and worm your way in there, Connor, but if this is... I'm sorry to say, this is what passes for fascist nowadays, then I'm going to need to start shining my black boots and get my armbands ready, because honestly, that just sounds pretty reasonable. But once again, it's just another example of how anything remotely to the right of Stalin and Mao, even the sorts of ideologies that they would put forward, because let's be honest, no to the LGBT lobby is something that Stalin would absolutely agree with.
Yeah, if you're LGBT, you can't reproduce, therefore you're not doing your duty in making workers for the regime, comrade.
Yes, anything to the right of Drag Queen Story Hour is now considered fascist. And once again, if that's the standard for entry, then sign me up, sad to say. And the centre-left alliance was a long way behind the right with 26% of the vote, and Democratic Party figure Deborah Saracciani, I assume I pronounced that right, said it was a sad evening for Italy. The right has the majority in Parliament, but not in the country, she insisted, which is the Italian Corbyn right there. We won the election.
Yeah. We won the argument,
I swear. Italy is a founding father of the European Union and as a member to NATO, and Ms. Meloni's rhetoric on the EU places her close to Hungary's nationalist leader, Viktor Orban, who she supposedly already has a good relationship with. Which, once again, this is just selling me to these people.
I have actually multiple times looked to see if I can do the commute in from Hungary every day, because he's currently paying you to have children.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's giving massive tax breaks to families. And I think you don't have to pay any income tax if you're under 25.
Oh.
Yeah.
Damn it.
And Budapest looks beautiful. So.
You're making me very very jealous of Hungary right now.
Well, all the Leicester riots means that we could be refugees to Hungary by the end of the year.
But beyond all of that, which all sounds very good so far, who are the Brothers of Italy and what is their background that connects them to Benito Mussolini's fascist party? Mm. Well, happily, Callum sent me this wonderful cheat sheet, which is from a website called The Local, which is Italy's News in English. Thank you very much for providing all of this information for me. And I'll just go through some of the info. So this is the connection to the Mussolini's fascists, okay? And tell me if this sounds strenuous or not, okay?
Is it 7 degrees of separation level?
The Brothers of Italy was formed in 2012, but traces its origins back to the end of World War II. In 1946, a group of Mussolini's allies, most of whom had been members of the Italian Social Republic, the final incarnation of Mussolini's Italian fascist regime, founded the Neo-Fascist Italian Social Movement, or known as the MSI. In 1995, the MSI merged with more right-wing, mainstream right-wing elements to become the National Alliance, also known as the AN, which publicly distanced themselves from fascism. AN was then absorbed into Berlusconi's centre-right People of Freedom Party in 2009, and then in 2012, a breakaway group formed mainly of former AN leaders, including current FDL leader Giorgia Meloni, left to found the Brothers of Italy.
That was such a stretch, it sounded like my girlfriend telling me a story. It was like, oh, you know this person who knew this person that you met once at a party once, and this is, yeah, they did something really bad.
Yeah, they're basically an offshoot of a merger of an offshoot of an offshoot.
So, let me get this straight. The Democrats had a big switch, so that exculpates them from being on the wrong side of the Civil War and starting the KKK and that, right? Even though they kept the same name and the same territories and still have discriminatory black policies. And they're A-OK. But a party who, God, what, about 80 years ago now, actively denounced fascism, is right-wing and not, therefore, socialist and dropped the socialist part of their name and has changed identity so many times, is actually Mussolini resurrected.
Exactly.
Right, okay, that's interesting.
Yes, it's the kind of connection, when you put it like that and just say, oh, they're an offshoot of a merger of an offshoot, I'm sure you could tie literally every political party operating in Italy right now to Mussolini.
Yeah, don't throw your back out with that reach.
Yes, so the whole derives from Mussolini's party is a completely ridiculous claim. These origins and the fact that the Brothers of Italy espouses far-right ideologies while rejecting the label of fascism means the party is often described by news outlets, including this one, as post-fascist, which means that you are just name-calling. This is incredibly petty name-calling.
Wait, post-fascist? So you're not fascist then?
Yes.
That's like saying postmodern is modern.
Well, all that means, all post-fascist means is that you're conservative, but we want to call you a name anyway.
Yep.
There you go. And so what is it that they espouse? Obviously, we've got a little hint of that in the speech that I read a bit from. So their ideology is labelled here as anti-immigrant, anti-gay marriage, pro the traditional family unit, with leader Giorgia Meloni promoting a public image of herself as a mother, woman, Christian, I think she's Catholic, unsurprisingly, given Italian, whose mission is to defend God, country, and family. Many of the party's policies are pro-natalist and aimed at combating Italy's plummeting birth rate, which Meloni has described as a true emergency. They include increased child benefits, reducing VAT rates on nappies, baby bottles, and formula, free childcare provision, and incentivizing employers to hire new mothers. That one, at the end, does seem a little bit off topic, because if you want traditional family roles and such, you want mothers staying in the home raising the children.
Yeah, you don't want free childcare provision because you don't want to off... That's literally what Plato and then Marx tried to do in breaking up the nuclear family. So you offload raising your child onto someone else.
So there are contradictions in the methods taken, but I think we can all appreciate at the very least that their aims seem to be pointed in the right direction.
Yeah, I'll get a holiday home in Rome.
Certainly better than a lot of what we get over here. Yeah. And in the lead up to the 2022 elections, Meloni has posted repeatedly on her social media accounts calling for a naval blockade to put an end to illegal departures to Italy, though it's unclear what form this would take. I think it would take the form of a naval blockade, shockingly enough. whoever wrote this article. Party also wants to create offshore hotspots to process asylum applications outside the EU.
Well, I'm not sure what form this would take. She's literally provided
here's
image.
A nice image of what it would look like. Yeah. She's also going for the Rwanda plan because, as I said, she wants to create hotspots offshore to process asylum applications outside the EU. So Rwanda's going to be a hotbed of immigration soon.
So many doctors, lawyers, engineers.
Yeah, are you ready for cultural enrichments, Rwandans? Meloni has furiously denied that Brothers of Italy is fascist, obviously, because they're obviously not. This is despite the fact that FDL recently decided to keep the tricolour flame, the original symbol of the MSI, in its logo, and that up until 2017, the logo also featured the letters MSI. A 2021 undercover investigation by the Italian news outlet Fanpage showed footage of, among other things, various FDL leaders trading fascist jokes and Roman salutes. No one's ever made edgy jokes in their free time in private.
Well, also, it's not jokes about fascism, it's fascist jokes. And I like the idea that the fascists were famous for their jokes. You could, of course, mock Mussolini to his face, and he wasn't insecure about that at all.
Mussolini was well known for his classic stand-up routines.
Yeah, great sense of humour, that guy.
Like, what they always cut out of Hitler's speeches is the enormous rounds of laughter that those crowds...
Oh, yeah, the Jews were all in on the joke, I'm sure.
Yeah. And Meloni started her career as a teenage activist in the youth wing of MSI in 2006 as an MP for the National Alliance. She told a reporter in an interview for Corriere magazine that she had a serene relationship with fascism as a chapter in Italy's history, adding Mussolini made several mistakes. Historically, he also produced a lot, but this does not save him. 2 years later, at 31, she was named Minister for Youth in Silvio Berlusconi's government, and supposedly she was the youngest minister in Italian history. Now, what this article from the Local is trying to make it seem is that means that she is a fascist. What this tells me is that she doesn't care if people are going to be labelling things fascist or not. She's like, it happened. Let's move on.
But she literally says this doesn't save him. So it's like saying, oh yeah, you can say he made the trains run on time, but he was still an authoritarian dictator, so I don't worship him. And it's like, yeah, that's a completely reasonable thing to say.
Yeah. And she's, at least the trains did run on time after all.
It's the same joke as, mid-century German man was a great artist, but, you know, the murders were kind of a problem.
And he wasn't a great artist, for one.
Some of the paintings are all right.
Some of his paintings look kind of nice aesthetically, but when you look at the form, like, he's got buildings with windows sinking into the ground.
I mean, he was a much better artist than I could be, but also I didn't murder people, so that's a low bar.
Not yet.
It's an in-joke in the office.
Meloni has recently sought to distance herself from earlier comments, saying the FDL has no room for nostalgic attitudes, and asserts in her video message that the Italian right has handed fascism over to history for decades now. So basically what she's saying is that they've consistently let themselves be bullied into ineffectiveness by letting others use the fascist beating stick as a way to make their political opponents neutered, and they're just not going to pay attention to it anymore. They're just going to move past and do what they need to. And I got a quote here from their manifesto. We want to defend our identity and our Greek, Roman, and Christian roots from the ongoing process of Islamization and from the Mondialist ideology that would deny national affiliations and the very existence of European peoples. Pretty based.
Sure. European peoples is a bit nebulous, because...
Well, I think it's more in reference to, like, for instance, Carl and Callum recently did that hangout where they're covering Europe's only indigenous people.
Yes, of course. They're trying to undermine the idea that Germans are native to Germany and we are native to our country.
They're trying to undermine any national identity unique to a European nation.
Yeah, it's indigenous is only that which American leftists see as close to the Native Americans. Or American Indians.
Well, yeah. What is it? They just look like savages. That means that they were indigenous.
Yeah.
No, that's not how that works. Indigenous people can become prosperous and wealthy and
invent the wheel.
Well, some of them can.
Anyway,
but let's take a look, because I read out some of the stuff where she was saying no to the LGBT, no, yes to sexual identity, and it's only one thing reading that out loud.
Right.
Let's hear how she delivers it, and just be warned, I think John has turned the volume down
a little bit
on this, but it might still be a bit loud, so be warned if you're watching this at home, and it will all be in Italian, but I've already read the quote, so you can figure it out for yourself what she's saying. I might need to turn my own volume up, but I'm scared.
Sì alla famiglia naturale. No allo slobby LGBT. Sì alla identità sexual. No alla ideologia de género. Sì alla cultura de la vida. No al abismo de la muerte. Sì alla universalidad de la cruz. No alla violencia islamista. Sì a fronteras seguras. No alla inmigración masiva. Sí al trabajo de nuestros ciudadanos, no a las grandes finanzas internacionales, sí a la soberanía de los pueblos, no a los burócratas de Bruselas, y sí a nuestra civilización, y no a quienes quieren destruirlo.
Goal!
Yeah, she was delivering that in Vox in Spain, and I think the funny thing is that the verve and the manner at which she said all of that is quite inspiring, but seeing that, I can see where some are coming up with the comparisons. That finger wagging.
Yeah, people, there's going to be so many side-by-sides by leftists, and you know they always quote Star Wars. You know, they're just going to say, oh, this is how democracy dies, with thunderous applause, and it's like... Okay.
All right. This is how democracy dies, through democratic voting and processes. Yes.
No, democracy is cringe.
I was going to say, that just proves how pathetic democracy is, surely. And I got this other one, which is an inspiring speech, a genuinely inspiring speech as well, actually. And I would, it's all in Italian, so, but there are subtitles, so I'll read it out as it goes along, yep. If we can play this. This is about what we are doing here today. Why is the family an enemy? Why is the family so frightening? There is a single answer to all these questions. Because it defines us, because it defines our identity. Because everything that defines us is now an enemy. For those who would like us to no longer have an identity and to simply be perfect consumer slaves. And so they attack national identity and they attack religious identity. They attack gender identity, they attack family identity. I can't define myself as Italian, Christian, woman, mother, no. I must be citizen X, gender X, parent 1, parent 2, I must be a number. Because when I am only a number, when I no longer have an identity or roots, then I will be the perfect slave at the mercy of financial speculators. The perfect consumer. That's pretty brilliant.
That's based.
That's a pretty hard line against the globalist agenda.
It's articulating how the family is a bulwark against the sort of WEF managerial state that wants you to be in the pod and eat the bugs and just consume endlessly but not actually own anything. Mm. I like that. Okay.
Later in that speech, she even quotes Chesterton.
Really?
Yes, when she says, fires will be kindled to testify that 2 and 2 make 4, swords will be drawn to prove that leaves are green in summer. And she's fiery, but she's fighting for the things that her country believes in. And with statements like that, it sounds as though she's willing to actually put up a fight for them.
Well, we actually do have a deficit of conservative thinkers in the political realm. So it's nice that someone's well-read enough. Because that's what people thought Boris was, and he turned out to be an utter traitor.
So yes.
I hope for our Italian brethren that your politicians are
Boris.
Much better. Yeah, thanks for the house arrest.
And she has said previously quite based things as well, where her party, the Conservatives, proposed a law to outright ban communism.
Yes!
And Islamism.
Yes!
In Italy.
Do it!
Under a law that already exists, which bans fascism in Italy. So they're basically just pointing at communism and going, communism, fascism, what's the difference, guys?
Ooh.
Might as well ban
True.
Both of them.
This
Come
is
on,
what,
if we're going to be consistent.
This is what we said in our book club of Michael Knowles' Speechless. There should be an anti-suicide clause in any constitution of any country that says if you're trying to espouse an ideology which undermines the protections you are afforded by our nation, then, sorry, bye, I live somewhere else. It's the Hopper thing of you cannot act antithetical to a self-associative community and still think you should be respected within the bounds of that community. Goodbye.
Yeah, either accept complete social separation from everybody else or get out.
Yep.
Be miserable or leave and go somewhere where, you know, you can find a communist commune somewhere. It'll collapse and prove a nice example for the rest of us.
Yeah, and if you're apologetic enough, we might treat you like the prodigal son and you might come back and learn the error of your ways. But until then, goodbye, you're annoying.
Yeah, they also recently got into an argument before the election came about over an episode of Peppa Pig that was going to be airing over here, over in Italy, where there was going to be a character with two mothers.
Oh, yeah, I've seen this.
If we go to the next one, where it's basically just saying, no lezzy pigs for us, thanks. And people could say that this is petty, but obviously what they're doing is they're trying to defend their more traditional values and say, hold up.
No pork without sausage.
We've seen what's going on over here. We've seen your drag queen story hour. This is a slippery slope that you're leading us on, and it shouldn't be for children. So, you know, that's one thing. And then the European Union's chairwoman, Ursula von der Leyen, delivered a veiled warning to Italy's right wing, stating that what my approach is, whatever democratic government is willing to work with us, we're working together. But if things go in a difficult direction, I've spoken about Hungary and Poland, we have tools.
It's quite, again,
seems like a threat.
She's a lunatic, because, and she should know better, because she spent years in exile over in London hiding from the Biden Minoffs. So she should actually hate communism, but she doesn't.
But she doesn't. Well, no, what she recognised was a powerful tool that she could use against her own enemies. It's sadly what happens with a lot of people. But as far as I'm concerned, they've got the regime frightened. And this is what has to be done to secure control of our nations, is to frighten and eventually separate from the regime. And I don't want to big up Meloni too much, because she has said a lot of things in recent interviews as well that do seem to be a little soft line on the EU, a little soft line on, say, sanctions in Russia, etc., etc. Like this. She is still spouting some globalist talking points. My hope, this you can call this cope if you want, is that she is trying to appease the right people while she's still getting into a position of power, and then we'll flip the switch. But even if she does just turn out to be a globalist shill slightly to the right of most others, it's still a step in the right direction. She's claimed that she's going to be a right-wing Tony Blair, and as far as I'm concerned, good. That just means that she'd be effective. As much as we do hate Tony Blair, and as much as he isn't based, Carl... he did get stuff done.
If she knows how to use power correctly in the preferential interest of her citizens, which she is beholden to, good. If she's just going to be an ineffectual fish, no.
Yeah, and Nick, our very own Nick Dixon, put it down quite well, where he said, I don't know much about Meloni, but it is quite funny that a democratically elected leader is essentially being called fascist by the unelected German president of a European superstate.
Yep.
Excellent point, and that's gone up 3,000 likes since I saw it earlier this morning.
Good man.
So nice one for you, Nick. And just a reminder as well that this has happened very, very soon after Sweden also went based, when the Sweden Democrats, which is a strange name, for them, but you know, you've got to have democracy in there somewhere or people think you're evil, won a recent election as part of another coalition where they want to do such evil neo-Nazi fascist things like deporting illegal immigrants.
Is that North F Swede?
It certainly looks like it. He's having a good time, whoever he is. So this all sounds good so far, but let's not rest on our laurels. We need to wait and see what actually happens here and see if the policies that they're trying to put forward and the things that they're trying to, the traditions and cultures that these people are trying to promote are going to be strengthened by the presence of these people in governments across the EU. But at the very least, I think we can all agree this is a good step in a right direction.
We can only hope for our pasta-eating brethren.
Hey!
Babarabucci! No, that's out of our system. So Kanye West, or now Ye, not to dead name the man, was once cringeworthily woke. Do you remember when he told George W. Bush that he doesn't care about black people on the Hurricane Katrina fundraiser?
Listen, Kanye said a lot of crazy stuff over the years. I've not been keeping track of all of it.
However, his conceitedness seems to have dropped slightly in recent years. And so we're going to retrace the genealogy. And now the more recent adventures of Kanye West, and to see just why he's become really, really based. Quite fun. I thought we'd do a little fun little segment. He's recently.
I'm just going to say, I know there will be people, and there are even people in this office who disagree with your assessment, especially given that, after all, he did decide voluntarily to get married to Kim Kardashian, a woman who was most notable for getting banged by another man on the internet.
Yes, we're not going to say that he hasn't made some poor choices, but thankfully his conversion to Christianity means there is room for forgiveness there. Not for her, though. She's a whore.
I didn't realise.
Yes, absolutely. Well, not converted. He's just more practising than usual. He always had a little bit of religious pepperings in his music, like Jesus Walks, for example, really early on, but making a full gospel album is slightly different. I thought, as a little mention as well, speaking of The Office, who aren't too convinced by Western music, just for a little bit of a fun one, if you sign up to the website, you'll be able to try and watch Harry indoctrinate Callum into listening to better music than North Korean propaganda.
No, I'm trying to save him from his indoctrination, and then by virtue of that, indoctrinate him into my music taste.
Yeah, Callum has some questionable music taste.
I will say I may have taken a bit of a misstep here in introducing him through Motley Crue and Varg Vikernes, who, if you know who Varg Vikernes is,
all of the metal that you've sent me is musically very impressive, but my ears hurt. So
did you get a chance to listen to Powerwolf before we went on?
I did. We were speaking about drag queens earlier, and that face paint is horrific.
It's all part of the aesthetic. You just don't get it.
I like Michael Jackson of The Weeknd. Leave me alone. So let's look at where his journey began, shall we? It was the explosive tweet back in 2018 where he said, I love the way Candace Owens thinks. And this came completely out of left field. It was a pretty wonderful way of I believe Candace would say, leaving the Democrats' plantation. And someone on CNN actually said, oh, this is what happens when Negroes can't read, which is insane. Which is just the most evil thing.
Right, okay, but let's be fair. Kanye has said he hates reading.
Save it till the end.
Okay.
That's all right. We'll go on a journey here. So then after that, he went and visited the White House, where he said that my MAGA hat feels like a Superman cape, and it's what makes me a man. And the fact that, again,
it was quite wholesome.
It was. This was 4 years ago, by the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It just makes me feel ancient.
Has he only got better since then?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wonderful.
Yeah, it's glorious. He's also got, you know, stayed just as eccentric. But yeah, so that was good fun. Then after that, he pledged to perform in a MAGA hat at some point. That was 3 years old. And he said, Trump all day, West posted, followed by a tweet containing three dragon emojis, an apparent reference to his description of himself and the US president sharing dragon energy, to which Trump had obviously responded, thank you, Kanye. Very cool, which I love that. A further tweet stated, just so in 2019, you know where I stand. He affirmed, from now on, I'm performing with my effing hat on, in reference to the Make America Great Again hat associated with Trump's presidential campaign. Pusha T, whose 2018 album Daytona was produced by West, told The Daily Show that the West had stopped wearing the hat because he described the accessory as this generation's Ku Klux Klan hood.
So cringe.
Well, it's not associated with the Democrats, so I don't see how we could say that. West explained his attraction to the MAGA hat. One of my favorite things about what the Trump hat represents to me is that people can't tell me what to do because I'm black. Entirely agreeable statement. He's a free thinker.
I mean, Biden literally said to qualify as a black person, you have to vote for him. And that sounds like telling black people what to do and what to think.
Yeah. Do you remember when he ran for president?
Didn't he run for president against Biden and Trump?
He did, yeah. And he didn't win any states because he registered slightly late. We had a drinking game on election night. If Kanye won any states, we'd immediately have to down a full bottle of whatever we were drinking.
And that's fair.
It was an unfortunate that he didn't actually get the penalty, but my liver's still intact, which is wonderful. So then on the road to his enlightenment, he made the song, made the album Jesus is King, and I don't know if you've listened, but it's actually really good.
I've not listened to any Kanye West that I can remember, except for, what's the album from 2010? The Dark something or other? I've forgotten the name. Dark Desires, or
Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Yes, my Dark Twisted Fantasy. I've listened to a bit of that album and I've heard some of the stuff. I've heard the one where he samples King Crimson.
Right.
Other than that, I'm not particularly familiar with his music.
I would recommend Graduation and Late Registration, but this is probably my favourite. And actually, I'd like to say the best song on this album is God Is, because he has no autotune. And he pairs up with a gospel singer, and she sings beautifully. And he sings rather raw, and he just sings that he's thankful for his house, his success, his wife, it's his kids, and that's what he's grateful for. And it's actually a really wholesome message.
He might have had to edit the lyrics a bit since then.
Yes, but it doesn't mean that his intention wasn't there.
No, of course. That's still quite a wholesome message.
Yeah, on the run-up as well to the presidential election, he then appeared on Joe Rogan. Again, if you haven't listened to that, it's a good little episode. He's kind of like openness and neuroticism maxed out with no constraints. He's a very lucid talker, and he speaks in genuine novels.
I think he's like, if you and Nick blacked up and formed a separate, distinct person that mixed the two of you together. That
I'm not going to do a Justin Trudeau and break out the boot polish anytime soon, but he is kind of like an unleashed id. Like, he's super creative, and you can, I don't wish to disparage the man, you can see how his bipolar disorder possibly plays into him having peaks and troughs, but his personality is clearly a wellspring of creativity. So then, also, very recently, he honoured the Queen when she passed.
Good man.
And he said he wanted to let go of all grudges. His exact quote from his Instagram post, which he keeps deleting as well, so it has to be archived in an article here. He said, a series of slides reflecting on the Queen's death at age 96. Life is precious, and releasing all grudges today, leaning into the light.
That's quite sweet.
Yeah, so it's a sort of reflection on mortality. As we said, when she passed, as Colin Callan reflected on, you don't know how much time you got left with your grandparents, for example. So make every moment count. And that passing of that totemic figure even affected people as Kanye West, who, I mean, before when he jumped up on stage and interrupted Taylor Swift, which, don't get me wrong, everyone should do that because she's insufferable, he sounded quite conceited, but at least he's got the capacity for reflection. So then he ran for president. We'll go to that one. And he's going to run again in 2024, apparently.
Keep at it, Kanye.
Kanye round two. Apparently The Rock's running as well.
Are they double bill? Is it going to be Kanye with VP The Rock?
That would be, I mean, Kanye's a Democrat. No, The Rock's a Democrat. He voted, he endorsed Vote Biden, so I don't think Kanye would be running with him. But
the sad thing is The Rock comes across as somebody who shouldn't be.
Yeah.
He really does, but then he is.
I think that Vin Diesel's opinion on The Rock turns out to be actually right. He called him a candy ass co-star.
Oh, really?
And yes, The Rock has definitely never done steroids. So I'm going to read some quotes here. At the time that this was written, Kim Kardashian hadn't revealed whether or not she'd voted for her husband, but Kanye said he voted for someone I truly trust, me.
The man's funny. You've got to give him that. He's funny.
It's like Brewster's Millions. Have you ever seen that film?
Where, no, I haven't.
So basically he inherits a load of money, but he's got to spend a certain amount of it in order to get the rest of it.
Oh, okay.
And it's a Richard Pryor movie. And so he decides to waste it all on a political campaign. And he just says none of the above, saying all the other candidates are rubbish. So he's a writing candidate. But he ends up becoming the top balloted one by accident. And he doesn't actually want the position.
So it's like a political version of The Producers.
Producers?
I've not watched it, but I'm aware of it. Mel Brooks, you know.
Oh,
Mel Brooks?
Okay, yeah, of course I know Mel Brooks. Blazing Saddles, yeah.
You know where they're trying to get a write-off on a massive insurance claim, so they produce a stage play about Hitler. Where
okay.
He sings Springtime for Hitler.
Yes, I know that one.
Flies off and becomes wildly successful.
Yeah, similar vein. So, says here, the 21-time Grammy winner is reported to have received 57,000 votes across the 12 states in which he was running in 2020. More than 130 million votes had been counted by the time that they did that, with obviously more found when pipes bust. West had also encouraged his fans to vote for him by adding him as a write-in candidate on their own ballot papers. There had been concern among many that West's campaign could divert some black voters away from Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden, which obviously didn't happen because Joe Biden won safely and securely. I'm sure
Joe Biden was
about.
The black candidate, after all.
He obviously got more votes than Barack Obama in Detroit, which is an incredible feat. I'm so glad that historic thing happened. Unfortunately, Kanye's home life didn't go so well after that. He then divorced Kim Kardashian, of course. And we're going to let this video play in the background without any sound, just because, well, he did this video because Kim Kardashian started dating everyone's favorite mall rat, Pete Davidson. And he decided to do an entire video of killing Pete Davidson and holding his decapitated head, which is, people thought was a bit
harsh. A hell
harsh.
Of a statement.
Yeah.
I will say, I've come up with a theory. Go about Pete Davidson, because everybody recognizes he keeps going out with these ridiculously attractive starlets. And
I wouldn't say Kim Kardashian's ridiculously attractive, nor Ariana Grande, actually. Basically, rich and successful women.
Yeah. Yes, but the way they're portrayed in the media is like these ridiculously attractive starlets. Yeah. They all keep going out. And I've figured out why it is, because obviously he's a hideously unattractive man.
He's a goblin.
But what the appeal is he's like some kind of designer ugly puppy that they hold in their hand.
He's a teacup pug, yeah.
It's a sign of status. I'm so wealthy and so well regarded, I don't even have to find a man who's up to my level of standards.
You're articulating Patrice O'Neill's dichotomy of why women date weak men, because women are sharks and men are sharks, but female sharks know that they're second best to the male shark. So instead, they go and pair up with a seal or a penguin because they know they're playing with their food. And then they eventually get bored of the seal or penguin, just like Kim Kardashian then dumped Pete Davidson, like all of these women do. And then they leave them out in the middle of the ocean. They get preyed on and very resentful. And then the female shark swims back to the male shark and is happier being in her rightful natural place as an accompaniment to a man just like her.
Oh, very interesting insight. You should check out Connor and Nick's look into Patrice O'Neill if you're more interested in more of that.
Yes, and just another rather based black man, funnily enough. So if we go on to the next, the reason Kanye West celebrated Kim Kardashian's splitting up with, he called him Skeet Davidson, he announced his death on Instagram. So West shared and then deleted an edited photo on Monday morning of the New York Times front page with bold text that reads simply Skeet Davidson dead at 28. West created the Skeet moniker for Davidson in March when he was publicly attacking his ex Kardashian then boyfriend on an almost daily basis via Instagram memes and music videos. But Ye didn't stop at Davidson. The fine print of the newspaper also pokes fun at former collaborator Kid Cudi, who recently left the Rolling Loud stage mid-performance after he was hit by a water bottle by fans in the crowd. The bottom of the front page read, Kid Cudi meant to play funeral, but fearful of bottle throwers. Cudi had stepped in for West as a Rolling Loud headliner after the Donda artist bailed at last minute. Surprisingly, West then appeared as a special guest during Little Durick set. I don't know who that
Little
is.
Little Durk.
Wow, you're down with the kids. Performing his song Father Stretch My Hands, which is also great, which features Cudi. So the two are riffing on each other. If we go to the next one, we can actually see the post in the Mail article if you want to scroll down, John, just to see the Instagram post in question. There we go. Skeet Davidson dead at 28, which has now been deleted. But I think Kanye should have just made that his profile image personally.
Like some of the comments just dub.
Yeah.
Big dub, God stepping in.
So Kim was crying about this in this Daily Mail article. She slammed Kanye West for posting an appalling meme on Instagram mocking her fresh breakup with comedian Pete Davidson. A source close to the star told Daily Mail, Kim won't stand for this. She's demanding that Kanye take the post down, but he won't. She has been vigorously defending Pete. She'll never get back together with Kanye over the way he's treated people she loves and respects. She has tried incredibly hard to have a good co-parenting situation for the children. Keep that quote in mind. She won't stand for this type of behaviour. Now, does Kanye have reason to suspect Skeet Davidson of doing something wrong? Well, we'll go to the next one. I understand this is a sand upset, but it's still kind of weird. It's a bit of a James Gunn situation. On Monday, a comedy event, Pete Davidson and friends, the funny man shocked and even angered the crowd with his controversial stories about baby sex and people with disabilities. One of the most scandalous routines included a story about how he's babysitting his friend's child and the baby, who is teething, began sucking on his finger. But good, he said. I don't want to F this baby, but he's asking for it. And he said he doesn't want to have sex with babies, but if he did, he would choose that one. Now, you can understand why he wouldn't want to leave his kids around the man.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's a joke. It's a joke. Probably playing
sure.
a character.
But he's from Hollywood.
He is from Hollywood. And there is also a part of me that thinks to myself, if I were to ever try and come up with jokes like this, it's like, why?
It's just kind of not funny.
Why would this idea for a premise yeah. of a joke come to my brain? And I've had many
dark
premises
jokes,
for
yeah.
dark jokes over the years, ones yeah. that would get me... and have got me cancelled.
Yep.
But
me having sex with an infant is not one of them.
Yeah, never. That one's never
didn't cross
my
mind.
Mind.
No. There's also Kim Kardashian and all the things she's done. So Kanye is, in many respects, good to be free of her, but unfortunately not for
I
the
mean,
children.
Really, he's dodged. Well, he didn't really dodge the bullet. It's more that the surgery managed to save him afterwards.
Yeah. Well, he's currently got three kids with a woman. She's currently destroying the American judicial system of all things. So Kim Kardashian, Beyonce, Oprah, and even Rihanna have tried getting a death row rapist and murderer off death row, despite DNA evidence.
Yes,
so,
they've come out as retards. We're aware.
Yeah, they've tried to get Rodney Reed off death row. Reed
oh,
was convicted of the 1996 rape and murder of 19-year-old Stacey Stites, I hope I'm saying that right, large in part to actual DNA evidence. Reed has claimed he didn't murder Stites, but was having a secret conventional affair with the teen.
Very convenient.
When her fiancé, Jimmy Fennell, a white police officer, found out, he killed Stites, Reese's defense attorney serious, and he just blamed the guy she was having an affair with.
I mean, it makes sense to me, officer.
The Supreme Court said, no thanks, we're not taking the case, he can fry. She then also tried to defend and deleted tweets in the next one of trying to defend a woman that was convicted of beating her 2-year-old daughter to death.
Does Kanye have custody?
We'll get onto that, unfortunately. Yeah, so she was involved in the Trump administration's weirdly liberal policy of criminal justice reform, which actually produced cases where rapists were let out without notifying their victims, because good behavior, no thank you, keep them in forever, or whatever other solutions you have. Kim Kardashian this week posted a string of tweets urging Governor Greg Abbott of Texas, famous for busing migrants to Washington, God bless him, to stop the execution of a mother convicted in 2007 of brutally beating her 2-year-old daughter to death. The messages, reported on here by Daily Wire, have since been deleted. In the posts, Kim Kardashian claimed Melissa Lusso, quote, falsely pleaded guilty to killing her daughter, whose death, Kardashian claims, was, quote, the result of a tragic accident. The court documents show the baby girl, named Mariah, was the victim of child abuse. She suffered potentially weeks-old broken arms, bite marks, bruises, and missing patches of hair that had been pulled out. So Kardashian tweeted, I recently just read about the case of Melissa Lusso and wanted to share her story with you. She's been on death row for over 14 years for her daughter's death. It was a tragic accident. Her 2-year-old daughter, Mariah, fell down a flight of stairs and only 2 days later passed away while taking a nap. After she called for help, she was taken into custody by police. Melissa is a survivor of abuse and domestic violence herself, much like the Joker's mother, and after being interrogated for hours and falsely pleaded guilty, she wanted the interrogation to end, but police made her words out to be a confession. Now, there are, of course, false confessions. This doesn't seem like one of them. She then worked with
the... So she's arguing that instead of it being just an outright abuse, don't worry, it wasn't abuse, guys, it was just neglect.
She just fell down the stairs.
I just walked into the doorframe, officer.
Exactly, yeah. She then worked with the Innocence Project to try and stop the execution. It's stories like Melissa's that make me speak so loud about the death penalty in general, and why it should be banned when innocent people are suffering. Well, this woman isn't banned.
No, I would go the opposite way. Innocent if I mother. Was in any position of power, I would ban projects like the Innocent Project.
I'd flip the switch myself. She also staged a sex tape release with her mum. Remember the Ray J sex tape? It was her release. We go to the next one. Recent exclusive. Kim Kardashian kept the leaked sex tapes in a Nike shoebox under her bed, according to Ray J. So, obviously, Dankula's second most loyal sponsor behind Raid Shadow Legends, is here giving an exclusive. The infamous Kim Kardashian sex tape was, quote, released like an album by Kim herself, who kept the only copy of it stashed in a Nike shoebox under her bed, along with the rest of the tape she made with Ray J. So she did multiple takes. Speaking for the first time about the tape, in a bombshell interview with DailyMail.com, Ray J said he had never possessed a copy of any of the tapes they made together, only holding on to photos and texts Kim had sent him between 2002 and 2009. It was so bad he didn't want to revisit it. The 2007 release of Kim Kardashian Superstar raked in an estimated 100 million, she got a reality show off the back of it. Ray J said, I've sat in the shadows for over 14 years, allowing the Kardashians to use my name, abuse my name, make billions of dollars over a decade and a half talking about a topic I've never spoken about. I've never leaked anything. I've never leaked a sex tape in my life. It's never been a leak. It always has to be about a deal and a partnership between Kris Jenner and Kim and me. So she pimped out her own daughter, and Kim was very happy for it to be put online. He also insists he never did any of the things she claims he did in the Kardashians' new Hulu show, and was outraged by the suggestion he might have a video showing Kim sticking something in his backside, which he said made him sound like a rapist.
Okay, so I had no idea that Ray J basically had nothing to do with this bar starring in the video in the first place.
Yeah, it's like most female porn stars, funnily enough, where they get paid once for the appearance, and then it's on the internet endlessly, and they wish they could take it
back.
Well,
you sold it to me. She smashed the patriarchy. Obviously, that's what happened.
No, she didn't smash the patriarchy. She smashed Ray J. Oh. Anyway, next. Turns out she's put this to even further insidious use. The Kardashians have denied faking a scene in their latest season where her son finds her sex tape on Roblox.
God, this family is so degenerate.
Yes, you remember when she said you asked if she had custody of the kids, and she's saying she's trying to do good co-parenting. Yeah, she does. Good co-parenting is not doing this. In the scene, Saint West, age 6, shows his mother Kim Kardashian experience room he apparently stumbled in whilst playing Roblox. Roblox said it removed the room and banned its creator, and no sex tape was ever available. It only said a few dozen players found it in the short time it was live. On social media, and in some reports, people suggested the chances of Saint West being one of those who found it are very slim. One well-known Roblox developer known as Zombody told BBC, the chance of accidentally stumbling into a game like that are astronomically small. There are two potential ways for Saint to have found such a game. Either he or the family actively searched for it or even created the game, or someone else in their peer group created it and shared it directly with the boy. Neither the Kardashians nor the production company provided an on-the-record comment, but a source close to the family insisted the scene wasn't faked. I highly doubt it.
No, I doubt. I'm just... The only thing I've really seen in the past of Kim and Kanye together was an old... I forget why I was watching it. It was like one of those house walkthroughs, a house tour that you do, and it was Kim and Kanye. And it was very, very interesting, the difference between the two, because Kim was obsessed with, like, oh, look at all these fancy things we've got. Look at these appliances. Look at my material possessions. And Kanye's just kind of in the background the whole time, like, sitting on his bed or sitting on the sofa, playing with the kids, looking confused the whole time. She like keeps going, look at these fancy taps that we've got. And the crew are like, oh, what do you think about these taps, Kanye? He's like, I wash my hands. I don't care. I don't know why they need to be so fancy.
He's a simple
fancy.
Man. Exactly. Yeah. So he can sing about materialism all he likes, but he's moved away from the song New Slaves, and now he's a much more family, wholesome man, if she actually lets him see his kids. And this is why he's made the argument, men's voices matter. Kanye West has opened up about fighting to have a say in his children's upbringing. In an interview that aired on Thursday's episode of Good Morning America, Kanye West said he had to fight for his voice in his four children's lives. He has four, I thought you only had three. I do have a voice, but I had to fight for it. It hurts when you have to scream about what your kids are wearing. As a dad and a Christian, and I have to have a right to have a voice on what my kids are wearing, what they're watching, and what they're eating. I have a platform where I get to say what so many dads can't say out loud. I'm their dad. It has to be co-parenting. It's not only up to the woman. Like men have a choice also, men's voices matter.
Very true.
Yeah, he would have been considered an MRA how many years ago, but I mean, it's nice that he's a very public example of what happens when you marry the wrong woman and your kids are ensnared in basically an exploitative situation where she's sexualizing them for public money. And anyone that watches Keeping Up with the Kardashians at this point as well, I mean, it was always brain rot, but you're enabling this, stop it. So the most recent scandal he's had, before we wrap up, is that he's against Chinese slave labor because he's disassociated with corporate America. Quote, he'll go it alone. It's time for me to go it alone, Ye said in a phone interview. It's fine. I made the company's money. The company's made me money. We created ideas that will change apparel forever, like the round jacket, the foam runner, and all this other stuff. Even with billions in dollars of revenue and two of the fashion industry's most lucrative royalty deals at stake, which is Gap and Adidas, Ye has shown his willingness to publicly battle the same corporations he's worked closely with. These are my new baby mamas, Ye said. I guess we're just going to have to co-parent those 350s Representatives for Adidas and Gap decided to comment, and he was complaining that the recent Adidas shoe looked really similar to his patented style. He said it was blatant copying, but they were undercutting him in sales. No one should have to be in a position where they can steal from them and say, we're just paying you to shut up. That destroys innovation. That destroys creativity. That's what destroyed Nikola Tesla.
Maybe he has started reading.
Yeah, he's become... I'm incredibly based. He's an arch libertarian in terms of property rights. And then if we go to the next one, the reason he's doing this as well, in an interview with CNBC, Ye actually said he's trying to disassociate with them because of their ties to Chinese manufacturing. This is the day of liberation right here, West said. This is a day not to just be valued on my cash flow, to be valued onto the equity in terms of the money, not equity, yeah. Racial equity we bring. You know, we've seen the influence that we had on two Fortune 500 companies, also a lot of stuff that Adidas have commitments of China, and we wanted to do localized manufacturing, which is completely possible with some of the factories I'm buying here in California. We can actually bring industry back to America. So he's enacting on Trump's policies.
And he's an industrious man. I mean... let's be fair to him. No matter what you want to say about him, the man made a success of himself by pulling himself up.
It's mad impressive, yeah. It's not like he came from nowhere because his parents were college professors. But they did split, and of course that had a profound impact on his upbringing. But he is an arch-evil capitalist who's trying to bring back American manufacturing. He's a concerned father. He's a Christian. He even tried to get his wife to moderate posting saucy selfies and got in a fight with that shortly before the divorce. So he's a man of excellent modesty.
Right, okay. His choice in women is always his biggest
questionable
flaw.
I agree.
I forget the name of the woman he's been seen with since then. But...
Julia Fox, he's already binned off.
Oh, has he?
Yeah.
Well, fair play to him. At the very least, she was also a hoe, but she was far more attractive than Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, though she was dumb as a post, though. Speaking of slightly dumb, but I will say Chad energy, we'll just finish with this most recent clip from Kanye. John, if you can play that.
You know, one thing that I was speaking with Ye about today is...
you see that rhymed?
Yay today.
I was telling him that I've read a book at least 100 times. And basically the meaning of the book is that if you believe you can, then you can. But if you believe you can't, then you can't.
There's two people. The man who thinks they can and the man who thinks they can't. And they're both right.
That's right.
That's what you were saying, but that was like a simplified version.
Yeah, the one who wins the race is the one who believes they can. The yoke lies in the acorn. And Ye was telling me that he hasn't read this book, but I was telling him that every positive attribute he naturally embodies. And that's extraordinary, you know, to have that confidence, you know, from being such a young kid and going out there and inspiring and having this vision and actualizing it. Is extraordinary.
Also, when you said I hadn't read this book, I actually haven't read any book. Reading is like eating Brussels sprouts for me, and talking is like getting the Giorgio Baldi corn ravioli.
Oh, yeah.
like a good conversation.
I love how he cuts through the ass kissing there and immediately goes, it's like the juxtaposition of the crying soy boy. No, have you got a sauce for that? No. And Ye's just like, aha, yes, next conversation topic, please.
Ye's just there like, I don't read, actually.
You know, I admire the man's confidence. Look, we endorse reading books at the Lotus Eaters, hence why we've got a book club. But it is quite fun to always see Kanye West have a change of heart. And I look forward to Jesus is King number two.
He seemed much more like a... he seemed like a much more reserved speaker in that little interview there than I've seen in the past.
Yeah, so. Well, he seems like a more integrated personality now. Maybe he's unburdened from the psychological stress of Thottery, and I just hope he gets his kids back.
Yeah, same. Anyway, let's move on to the video comments.
Hey, Connor. Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio coming out this December looks gorgeous. Look at this. This is incredible. The man behind this turd is Robert Zemeckis, famous for Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Forrest Gump, and Back to the Future. That still really hurts, though.
Yeah, that's painful, man. I didn't know there was a difference between the two.
I mean, let's be honest. The true classic of those three is Who Framed Roger Rabbit. That's an absolute beast of a film.
It's great.
And that's so disappointing. That's so disappointing.
Also, Back to the Future 2 is great as well. It's a brilliant dystopian fiction.
Oh, I do love Back to the Future and the sequels, but like Who Framed Roger Rabbit is such a classic.
Also, I hate Forrest Gump.
Fair. I like it.
Connor. Still. Lindsey Graham is trying to get Democrats and Rhino Republicans to the polls in midterms to prevent Trump supporters and MAGA candidates from winning. That's the reason he introduced this federal ban on abortion. It has nothing to do with principles. He's a terrible human being.
Yeah, I have seen that suggested. So if it is an actual false flag event and he's trying to mobilize the Uniparty base, then of course he's a scumbag. But at the same time, the person who introduced it, like, if it's a tactical maneuver, not great. Do I agree with it in principle that we should ban baby murder on the federal level in your country and in mine? Yeah. So I don't like the guy. If it has electoral repercussions, you know, it's awful. But at the same time, is it something that should be pushed for in the long term? Absolutely.
Move on.
Hi, guys. James Craig here. This past week, I did a book talk at my local public library, and it went surprisingly well. Apparently, I've watched enough podcasts that I've become good at public speaking somehow, not that I know what I'm doing. Which got me thinking that it might be a good idea if you guys wanted to do a contemplations on the proper rhetorical methods of persuasion and how to convey a good point in podcasts and speeches and so on.
Josh is very interested in etiquette, so I think he actually will do something like that at some point. We are currently, speaking of persuasion, we're tomorrow filming a Contemplations, which is both a true crime case study and an examination of why women like the dark triad trait seen in serial killers. Hence, there's a lot of comparisons
floating
around.
Hence why Connor's so good with the ladies.
I will not.
No, actually, we did the Dark Triad recently.
Mine was relatively low, Connor, but I was lying through the whole thing.
Connor and I were doing all right. There were some surprising results, to be honest.
Yeah.
Josh, for instance, is actually shockingly chill.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything about John's because I've turned my microphone off. Next one.
Since you guys were talking about Nausicaa, there's actually some interesting trivia around the God Warrior sequence, because like the melty body and everything was actually very hard to animate back then because they didn't really have CGI and special effects. And there was like a young newcomer guy that volunteered to work on it, and his name was Hideaki Anno. He's the guy that like did Evangelion eventually and also directed the newer Godzilla movie.
Oh, right.
I thought Harry might appreciate these facts, and I remember mentioning watching Evangelion in the past.
Yeah, that makes sense, actually, because Evangelion has a number of gross-out sequences where the mechs start to become fleshy masses of muscle and goop, and that makes sense that the guy who innovated on creating the goopy, slimy animation would end up on Evangelion.
Have you seen Nausicaa?
Nausicaa? No, I have not.
Great film. It's heavily 80s. It's kind of... It's the only Ghibli movie that comes close to, like, Transformers the movie 1980s vibes.
Oh yeah.
So it's good. Oh, it's a very nice. Good film.
People might be interested to know that I have started reading Berserk recently as well, the full massive deluxe edition volumes, and maybe we'll do something on that in the future when you get around to reading it as well, because it has become my new favorite thing.
Maybe we'll...
I just finished the Golden Age story arc and it's incredible. I need to read more of it. I read like one and a half volumes of it over the weekend.
Maybe we'll feature it in our new series, which won't be announced yet, but keep your eyes on the website. Yes.
Hello, Lotus Eaters. This is Will of William Media. You can find me on YouTube. The question I'd rather ask you guys than Google is, what's the deal with Nigel Farage? Why is he not, like, your prime minister? Does he have a job? Honestly, yeah. I think he'd make a good God Emperor for you guys, or maybe Oliver Cromwell's job title, whatever that was. Make it make sense, Brit Bongs.
Okay, so Farage, he attempted to a couple of times, but we have the first past the post system, which... basically means that UKIP got, 5 million votes, but not a single seat, which was ridiculous.
I think they got 2 seats.
I don't think... they got no parliamentary seats.
Did they not?
No parliamentary seats.
Fair play, I must be misremembering.
Yeah, he's currently a host at GB News. He's currently on break, actually. And he's involved with the Reform UK Party, formerly the Brexit Party. He's no longer the chairman of that. That's Richard Tice. But he's peripherally involved in it. So.
Yeah. Sadly, I wonder as well why he's not our God Emperor, because he would make a much better choice than any, much better fit than any of the politicians we've got right now.
Yeah, Sid the Sloffler's Truss next.
Hi guys. So I've been reading The Habits of Good Society, book group written in 1895. And I've come across a quote that was rather interesting. So it goes. Pater familias, the study of art rightly undertaken, is the study of God, and it is by cultivating the beautiful that you approach heaven. Wow.
See, I like the Christian apologetics going on because Carl and I are going to eventually get round to our Why Jesus Is Not a Socialist hangout, and I've been rereading the New Testament. Douglas Carswell was a UKIP MP. When I don't know the date when that was, John, so 2005 to 2017. There we go. Fact check in the corner. The man's a genius. Thank you very much.
Mostly true.
I owe Mr. Buckley an apology. I mixed up his background and thought that he had previously been in the British police. So I'm sorry for the vitriol on that, Mark. He is still wrong, though, about focusing on community when you get arrested if you try to defend people. That's kind of putting the cart before the horse. As for knives, yes, they are terrible weapons for defense. As the saying goes, the winner of a knife fight gets to go to the hospital, which is why we say that the gun is civilization.
Makes sense to me. Yeah. Thank you for retracting some of the more vitriolic statements that you made as well. It makes sense that you'd got a bit confused about his background there. No, knives suck, guns rule.
Would be nice if we had a Second Amendment, unfortunately not. Mm. So, for the comments for the Backlash Has Begun segment, Callum Dayton, the only way I want children to live is free, happy, good, safe from danger, and innocent. Not growing up to be indoctrinated into Slaanesh cultist freaks. But that's too much to ask for, isn't it? Well, not if you start protesting.
Not
it
for
isn't.
Much longer.
No, it seems that just keep the energy up. It's demoralizing sometimes, yeah, but kicking up a fuss does work.
The fact that it was able to get to this length in the first place, sadly, is an indictment of our society and the way it was operating up until now. But if we can push back, perhaps, hopefully, it can lead as an example of what happens when we let the left have any power at all.
Yeah.
Children get nonced.
Yeah, well, here's one to come back on. Colin P, one thing that does slightly worry me about backlashes is the possibility of simply driving these deviants underground, where they will simply fester and work invisibly. Sure, but then we have had moral prohibitions against paedophilia for ages, and sure, they're always underground and they're always trying to be sneaky. That's what to catch a predator and sting operations are for. You can't catch them all. You can't remove the problem entirely. All you can do is act reactively, swiftly, and have punishment be a prohibitive deterrent.
Yeah, sadly, barring a full surveillance state Chinese-style situation...
Which
we don't want, unless you've got, like, Minority Report or something operating in the background, there's no way to entirely prevent these things. All we can do is make sure they're illegal, make sure they're morally prohibited, and then also punish those very visibly, as far as I'm concerned, that do engage in such thing. I'm all for bringing back public hanging now.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it's a great deterrent for everyone who walks past.
As I said in the Gacy video, having read all the names of his victims, I regret not being the one to lethally inject him myself, but if there are jobs going in Swindon Town Centre, I'll still commute in every day to hang every paedophile imaginable. One last one for this segment, because it's actually really interesting. Sophie's written in, said, I know that book. Remember I showed it in my video comment about a year ago, before I was working here, unfortunately. I was holding it in my hand. The Hips Go Swish 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 is in my sister's LGBTQ bookshop. I know I'm ashamed.
I'm so sorry that you've got... I'm sorry that your sister suffers from such a terrible condition, Sophie.
At least half the customer base won't be returning within the year. On to the comments for your segment.
41% to be precise. Yeah. Yes, Baron von Warhawk. I notice when it comes to the rise of the Nazis, the left is quick to tell you about how bad they are, but never talks about how they got into power, because that would make all of their posturing towards democracy a bit moot, wouldn't it? Mm. This is because the public would recognise that one of the reasons for the Mustache Man's rise to power was due to the decadence and debauchery of the Weimar Republic and its intellectual influence that people voted for literally anyone who would put an end to it. And look where it got them. Now we're seeing the same immorality echo through the West as a whole. The 2030s are going to be interesting. Yes, I don't think the people that were voting in to take charge against it are going to be going on any genocidal campaigns anytime soon, or at least I certainly hope not. So hopefully the 2030s won't share that in common.
No, well, the leftists are literally genociding babies, so it's hard to turn around and say we want to protect the unborn that you can accuse the Italians of genocide now that they voted in this woman.
Yes, Bleach Demon says, it's time to call anyone opposing Maloney what they are, filthy sexist pigs. The international left are clearly against the strong, independent women who don't need no diversity. The left needs to do better. Absolutely, you're right. She broke the glass ceiling, and we should all be proud of that. Taffy Duck, Italy's far-right party, pro-EU, pro-Ukraine, pro-LGBT, LGTB, I think you mistyped that, inclusion, yeah, right, pressure release valve, real far-right politics is coming. Perhaps this is a step in the right direction. I don't think the claims that they are far right.
Also, pro-LGBT. I don't know their policies. But it doesn't sound like it from literally saying they're the enemy of family.
Pro-EU and pro-Ukraine. It sounds as though the pro-EU stuff might have just been softening her anti-EU rhetoric, because from what I've seen, she has been pretty anti-EU in the past. So I'm hoping that some of it is, like, not to be too duplicitous, but a bit of a smokescreen to try and get her foot in the door, and then, like I say, flip the switch. But I guess we'll see.
Just a couple on the Kanye West being based. JC, The Rock for President seems a bit like Idiocracy to me. I know Josh wanted to cover that at some point in the politics of, so I suppose we may have to do Mike Judd's seminal film. Ewan Baker, his reason for interrupting Taylor Swift for Beyonce was cringe because she is trash. Yeah, both are, and Beyonce's a Satanist, so that her latest album has some really weird stuff in it, apparently.
Oh, really?
Michael Knowles has covered that. Yeah, it's got some references. And then just to finish with Omar Awad, whatever you want to say about Kanye, he's his own man, coming to his own conclusions. In a country where you can have your black card revoked for not espousing the correct political alignment, that deserves some level of respect.
Also, Freewill2112, I agree, Motley Crue, for the most part, are really musically boring. They've got one or two good songs. I just thought it would be funny to read the lyrics to Girls, Girls, Girls to Callum and see his reaction.
Oh, you did get one compliment, by the way. Russian Garbage Human said thanks for reading out the subtitles of the speech, because I often drive, and I have the same thing. I always listen on audio as well after
you're
work.
You're welcome. So I know I've listened on Spotify in the gym before, so I understand it can be difficult when it's just foreign voice. But anyway, that's all the time we've got. Remember that in just an hour, at 3:30 British Summer Time, Carl and Callum are going to be answering the question that you've all been asking. Is Tony Blair bait? No.
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 Should Tony Blair be hung in The Hague?
But if you want to see their discussion on that subject anyway, tune in an hour from now if you've got a premium membership, which starts at £5 for our bronze tier subscribers. Until then, we'll see you again tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you very much for watching, and goodbye.